Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Ford, featuring available sync with My Ford Touch. Sync with My Ford Touch gets you to your destination with integrated turn-by-turn directions and directional arrows displayed on screen. Check it out in the new 2012 Ford Focus and at Ford.com/technology. And by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 20% off your new account for 6 months, go to Squarespace.com and use offer code Android11.
About Android, episode 35, recorded on Monday, November 21st. This is your weekly source for all the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Eileen Rivera.
I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
I was looking at the wrong camera the whole time. I was looking at the jib. Right. Look at that.
It's okay. There's tons of cameras pointed at us.
Tons of cameras, tons of tablets.
Do you see the stack here?
We have a tablet for every camera.
Woohoo!
Let's put that on there.
It's extreme tablet.
We're gonna be doing tablet Jenga later.
Tablet Jenga. Let's see. What do we take here? I know. This is insane. So we are tablet optimized this week, meaning this is tablets galore on this week's show. We've got the Nook tablet, which is underneath here. I'm not going to open that quite yet. We're going to talk Kindle Fire, HTC Jetstream.
I just named their segment. It's tablet time.
But you know what? Don't worry about that. For you phone fans out there, you won't be left out in the cold because Discar here has got something really cool to show off on the Nexus S.
That's so cool.
This is a little taste of things I haven't seen yet.
I know.
Ron hasn't actually touched the Kindle Fire, and he almost did. And I said, no.
I haven't been able to interact with the Kindle Fire yet. Mm-hmm. I've spoken to several people who've used it. I've gotten the word on the street.
Yep.
But I haven't played with one yet, so I'm excited to.
And you've
got the Nook tablet.
I've got the Nook tablet. We're gonna turn it on. Actually, it's kind of on already, but. Whatever. We're going to take it out of the box.
It wouldn't be very fun if we unboxed it and it was out of battery.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. That would be really bad. But we do have some news items. So let's go to our news.
All right. Just one quick thing because we're very hardware heavy today. So we'll just kind of cover this real quick here. McAfee and Juniper, among other virus company firms, company/firms, are pointing at Android as being the second biggest target for new malware, first place being claimed by none other than Symbian. Android has seen astronomical growth and as such become a prime target for such malicious activity, according to the firms. Meanwhile, Chris DiBona, who's Google's open source programs manager, is calling the virus companies charlatans and scammers who stir the pot simply to give their products more relevance.
I kind of see his point.
I
don't know. I go back and forth. I would be angry too if I were him. But I don't know. What do you guys think?
It makes sense. I mean, if we create a truly protected from malware environment, then they're out of business. Part of it is there might be a little bit of fear mongering there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're looking at the major phone platforms, admittedly, Android's a little more open to that because it's an open platform versus the iOS kind of closed platform.
Yeah,
I think it's targeted more.
Right. Yeah. You leave yourself open to this kind of interpretation and this kind of vulnerability when it is a quote unquote open platform. We're talking about it on Tech News Today earlier today, like on the iOS platform, in order to install a non-approved, you know, outside of market app, you actually have to go through some effort. You actually have to jailbreak your phone in order to do that. I've never used the phone personally, so I don't know if there are other ways, but that's the way that I know of, you know, have heard of to do it on iOS. On Android, almost every phone, not all of them, some carriers block some of the phones from giving you access to this, but almost every phone allows you to install out of market apps by simply clicking a box.
One checkbox, that's all it is.
So that's
It's like, what do you value more? Do you value the kind of controlled environment that iOS gives you where you don't have as much, you know, kind of ability to do these things easily, or, you know, are, do you value the openness, again in quotes, but the openness of Android, and it's a little bit more incumbent upon you to take control.
Yes, and it's a broken record. I feel like we've said this before, but like Britman says on the in the chat room, look at the permissions on the apps, look at the comments. If you're not sure, then just don't install it. Yep. You know, use your noggin here, people. I know that it's easy not to. It's easy to just go click, 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 click. I mean, it happens on the desktop all the time.
Right.
But
and I mean, maybe it's a little bit less obvious when there is malware in like official places like the Android Market versus things that come out of like if you're pirating or torrenting Android apps, that, you know, there is more of a possibility that it's going to have something malicious built into that. But they do get into the Android Market too, so it's not always people that are just like installing these unknown sourced apps willy-nilly.
And quite honestly, I'm surprised that one hasn't slipped through the wall at iOS. I'm surprised somebody hasn't you know faked an app to get through to the store and then did something. I'm shocked that hasn't happened, because we live in a world where people, you know, use a web browser and get pop-ups that say, you have a virus, click here to clean it. And they clean it and they just send all their information or they start a botnet or something like that. I mean, we live in a dangerous world, unfortunately. Yeah. And by no means do we want to see anybody get malware or get their, you know, their device or their computer or anything infected. And, you know, to that purpose, you know, antivirus companies do serve a purpose and they do, you know, add a layer of protection. But at the same time, I can't remember the last time I thought about antivirus. You know what I mean? Like, I remember like 8 years ago on the computer, I needed Norton and I needed to get the updates and stuff like that. We've kind of curbed that with the computer, you know, environment, especially for those of us on OS X on laptops or Chromebooks or anything like that. You know what I mean? Like, I haven't thought about viruses in a while, and we're hearing more and more about malware because this is one of the few open opportunities for people to inject stuff.
Yeah. You know, it's probably very hard to quantify exactly how many people have encountered malware on Android. But just in sheer numbers, like if you just think about the number of devices, the number of people that have Android devices out there, granted, it's more susceptible potentially to all this kind of stuff. But how many times do you ever hear about, you know, your friend that has an Android device that, you know, had malware on it?
I've never heard of a single person.
It's kind of like, there's massive amounts of numbers of users.
Yeah.
And of course, the number of exploits is going to be larger. But is that number still relatively small in comparison to that large number of users?
Right. And so I don't know what McAfee and Juniper are trying to prove by making this point, by saying that, you know, that Android isn't safe, don't use it, or Android isn't safe unless you use our software or whatever, you know.
I think they truly believe when they release these things, maybe this is just my rose tinted glasses, that they're kind of, you know, talking about the truth and you know, letting people know. But at the same time, on the other side, I mean, they stand obviously to profit off of any of these reports that they make, because it creates their business.
I mean, DeBone is using hard, you know, like strong language, like charlatans and scammers. I mean, McAfee's an established, I mean, they're in the Bay Area, they're, you know, in Oakland, they've been around forever. I don't really put McAfee under the scammer side, to play devil's advocate. I don't know. I still think it's this whole kind of culture of fear, and meanwhile, you know, you're less protected by handing your credit card to a restaurant and they're swiping it through one of those things that count. You know, I read an article about that. That freaks me out totally.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much more stuff that's insecure. I think the phones are generally secure. I don't know. Maybe I could be Pollyanna.
I just think the world is insecure.
Yes. Sure.
There's only so much
on
you
that
can
note.
Do.
Yeah.
Just be smart about what you put on your phone.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
We've said it before. We'll say it again.
Well, we got a voicemail, and Chad, can we listen to that?
Hey guys, just a couple quick thoughts about Android tablets. Looking to get one myself, and I just want to say that I think the biggest issue is the lack of apps on the demo units themselves in the stores. There's a few good ones, but in general, it's very limited, and often a lot of the apps require Wi-Fi, which doesn't work. People look at the Android tablets, I'm watching them, they shift over to the iPad. Of course, there's 20, 30 good apps, including iMovie, where you can edit right on it. So I think until the manufacturers can get those units to demo a lot better with some good apps that do exist, they're going to have an uphill battle. Anyway, thanks. Love the show.
I just thought that was kind of probably a very good point. I can't say that I've ever been into an Apple store and really played around with an iPad to see what kind of apps are there, you know, that would make it compelling there that isn't compelling.
Look at that. An Apple tablet is there. No, I've done exactly what he's talking about. I've gone to Best Buy and I've looked at the tablets and it's atrocious.
What do you find on an Android tablet that's in the store?
Nothing compelling. I mean, like,
Is it just stock apps?
Yeah, it's just the stock apps, and then maybe like an Angry Birds or something like that. There's nothing. I mean, the thing is, and the problem is that it's not really the tablet manufacturer or Android's problem. It's Best Buy's problem. They're not shelving the product well in a compelling way to get people engaged with it. But they just plug it in and put it there, and they get a demo unit. And honestly, I can't remember the last time I did this was earlier this year, so I can't recall the exact tablet I looked at and the exact thing. But I remember being at a Best Buy because my friend was trying to upgrade his phone. And so I was just killing time and playing on the tablets. And, you know, and in that shelving environment, iPad's pretty sexy, you know, because they're not putting on the good apps. You know, those apps do exist. We know they exist. We're going to talk about some of them. You know?
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess that's a good question between us and chat room. If you think of any, throw it out there while we're still talking about this. But what would you put on a tablet to make it seem compelling to people that come into the store?
Make sure there's some apps that you can do the fun drawing with, you know, with your finger, like Sketchbook, which is a great app that was free in the Amazon App Store over the weekend.
Some good games. Doesn't always have to be Angry Birds.
It could be a cool looking game. Like the Atari, put that Atari app on there, and you'll sell.
Yeah,
like go totally.
Oh, totally. Right?
I think any app that utilizes photos.
There's lots of different, like Pixay Pro, you know, stuff that you can actually like manipulate your photo, add filters, things like that.
News 360, which pulls in you know, like relevant current events photos.
Put Pulse on there.
Pulse
is great.
Yeah. Although Pulse is really good for personalizing to your own content, but they have kind of large swaths of just general things.
Yeah, if you just look at it and use it, because I haven't customized it on my Kindle Fire yet, but you know, just opening it up and then kind of reading stories and kind of sliding to the left, to the right, that kind of stuff.
A lot of people in the chat room are also agreeing with Pulse. I mean, Pulse is like one of my top three favorite Android apps. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So I totally agree with that. Skitch. Chris Guy says Skitch. Evernote, Feedly. I don't know. Some of them are great if it's your tablet and you set it up yourself. Others are great in a demonstration.
Sure, yeah. Exactly. And that's part of the store managers, whoever run. Yeah. I mean, you know, like there are jobs like that where I'm like, I would rock that job.
Right.
But, you know, like it would be like, oh, it'd be so
cool.
You're
a really good salesman.
Yeah, I know. Totally, yeah, I know. Well, I worked at a record store for years. Yeah. So I know, you know, like you gotta put out what people want and make it somewhat compelling. I mean, you know, a little selfishly or whatever, but my day job, we do the Walking Dead apps with the comics. That's a great way, because it's artwork really, and you know, even like, you know,
music put in Double Twist, or even
put
somebody's
Google music.
I was about to say, somebody put like a dummy account, throw in like, you know, a couple albums on there, and show Google Music
account. Yeah,
start pimping that, you know?
You start, you know, you get this nice little thing where people can scroll through
look at that
and see albums and stuff like that. Like, that's pretty cool. I would totally play with this in a store environment. Mm-hmm. You know, so
totally. Yeah, I mean, it's a really good point. Anonymous, if that is your real name. It is a really good point. These stores probably need to do a better job of marketing, you know, making sure that they've done kind of the due diligence to really market these things effectively. It only means better sales for them.
Yeah.
Because I agree, there are plenty of good, solid tablet apps.
Netflix.
Great.
How easy is that? Just put Netflix
stream
on there.
Stream some stuff.
Fruit Ninja would be great, actually.
I can see why Best Buy wouldn't put Netflix on, because they're selling DVDs.
Well, they could still put some kind of video on there to show the video capabilities.
Exactly.
You know?
All right. Well, let's take a quick break and thank one of our sponsors this week, Ford, featuring Sync and My Ford Touch. Sync is an in-car communications, entertainment, and connectivity system that's voice-activated to help you keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. One of the greatest features of Sync is Sync Services, which is it gives you just a bunch of options for like turn-by-turn directions. So it'll tell you exactly where you want to go, displays directional arrows on the screen to make it really simple so you know exactly what you need to do at the right time. Business search. So if you need to search for a business, you can do that. It's all voice activated. Get their telephone numbers, business information, directions, all that kind of stuff. It integrates with Google Maps or MapQuest on your home office computer or your home computer so that you can then sync that map up with Sync at a later time and do the hard work in front of your computer, which is something that I do actually very often with my phone. So I know the value of that. So it's really nice to have that built in. And as well, a free Sync Destinations app, which is available in the app stores as well. So you can kind of get your mobile phone working with your system. And it's all designed to keep your eyes on the road and your hands on the wheel. So check it out. You can learn more about this and other technologies Ford is bringing to its vehicles at Ford.com/technology. You can find all this stuff in the 2012 Ford Focus. So check that out as well. Cool. All right. So thank you, Ford. Let's move into our crazy, ridiculously bulky hardware section this week. We have so much.
It's bulky with content, not with the products aren't bulky.
I've already started.
I don't know. Some pretty fat tablets there.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and start with my Kindle Fire review. I've been waiting for this unit for a long time. Here it is. Here's the case.
Does that case come with it, or is that
no?
A
you had to buy
case?
It extra.
Okay. Is it the like the iPad kind of flappy prop up style case?
Yeah, the prop doesn't.
Oh yeah, there it is.
It's okay. There you go. I don't know if you can see this, Chad, but here's the prop.
Works-ish.
I know. I got to kind of prop it up. All right. So here's the Kindle Fire. And when you, I guess we'll just show it here. You've seen it on other shows, but if you haven't seen it yet, this is what it looks like when you turn it on. When you register if you are already an Amazon account holder and you have books and music and that kind of stuff, it will come onto the cloud in this on your device. Now, this is the cover flow. It's sort of like this is all the latest stuff. The last thing I did was I loaded Google Music on the web browser. Before that, I was watching Lost. I did sideload GetJar. Actually, I just used the web to download GetJar. Netflix is on here. I'm reading Steve Jobs' book. Got Wired. Has an email client. There's lots of things here. First, I just want to say that I'm actually glad that I have played with this for a week and have read all the reviews, a lot of negative reviews. And I understand where some of those reviewers are coming from, especially when they are comparing it to the iPad. But I think they are very negative for all the wrong reasons, I think. There's a couple of news items. Amazon Kindle Fire is poised to be number 2 in tablets this holiday season. There are a lot of people who are going to be buying them. I'm not surprised. $200 for this device? Jeez Louise, it's a great price for this 7-inch Kindle. I guess some people don't want to call it a tablet because it doesn't have GPS, doesn't have a camera, other things like
still
that.
It's still a tablet. That's just semantics.
Also, just so that you guys know, it has been rooted. You can root the phone, and Amazon posted the open source code to the Kindle Fire already. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's take a look at what we've got here. I'm not impressed with the newsstand. I will say that because right now all it is sort of just looking at magazines a la PDF. It's just kind of doing this.
Flat.
It's very flat, but I think that's going to change. I don't know.
You want it to be?
I want it to be a little bit more interactive,
a little bit splashier than just swiping an image from left to right and page-turnish type thing.
Because I've seen it before, and it's really compelling when it's a little bit more interactive. Yeah. So that's newsstand. That's okay. Books, it's what you would think if you have a Kindle already. It's just the Kindle instead of an e-ink screen.
Yeah. Now you have the regular Kindle as well, right?
I had the original Kindle.
Yeah, the original Kindle OG.
Kindle OG.
Yeah. Have you read a decent amount with this now?
Oh yeah, I have.
And how?
I'm taking it to the gym already.
How's the difference between kind of like? Because I know that everybody thinks that like e-ink is easy on the eyes.
It is easier on the eyes. I would say that, and that hasn't changed. So, but I've read a lot on my Samsung Galaxy Tab. I've read a lot on the iPad. So I'm used to that. And, in sunlight, not great. You know, you have to kind of play with the settings and whatnot. And there's a lot of different settings here in order to change the text, font, background, brightness and whatnot. But it's what you would expect if you were reading on, you know, any other tablet here. So that hasn't changed. And let me see here. So music. So I've bought a lot of music, and here's a lot of the stuff that I've put in the cloud. And then you can also download them and put. I haven't put too many pieces songs on the device itself. There's only 8 gigs on this device, really technically 6 gigs that you have because they're really touting the cloud service. Mm-hmm. The speakers are not so bad. I mean, it sounds good to me, just in terms of volume.
Nice. Now we're talking. That's a good time. Yeah.
This is Mayor Hawthorne. I'm really a big fan of his. And I like that there is... one thing that I don't like about the Amazon Kindle Fire is the volume. There's no volume button, so you have to do it on the device itself. Yeah. And some of the apps are better at having a volume button. See, look at that, okay? So the music app is good at having a volume controller button, as you would expect. But some apps like Netflix, you have to kind of go up to the actual, you know, settings up here and change the volume up there, which is kind of a pain. Video. As you would expect to, all the Amazon apps work beautifully. Just like in the Google ecosystem, when you have a Google app working on your phone or on your tablet, those work really great as well. I'm just going to show you a little video quality here. I'm launching a Prime Video. I'm going to go ahead. Let's show Lost really quick. And this is never heard of it?
Previously on Lost.
Previously on Lost. Well, this wouldn't be previously.
I missed that. I actually missed that.
Let's take a look at the quality.
All right.
I think it looks pretty darn nice.
It's pretty good.
Look at how gorgeous the colors are on the screen.
How's the scrubbing?
Scrubbing's okay. So it depends, right?
Yeah.
Depends on your Wi-Fi.
How much is downloaded. Yeah.
How much is downloaded. But I think it looks really good.
Yeah.
And that's Lost on the screen. I'll show you Netflix here. And what's great about Netflix on here is because it's the updated app. I guess what I didn't realize last week is that we, in the Android world, Honeycomb, we got the updated Netflix app before the iPad owners.
Interesting.
And the way it looks, the way it looks, it looks like this on your tab and probably on your Zoom.
Hey.
This looks all different here.
I don't even think I have it.
So at the top here on Netflix, there's a bunch of, you know, continue watching. Yes, I watch.
Is that a new section? Like the continue watching with lots of options? Like all the shows that you've started but not finished? That's really cool.
Exactly.
Like
I've watched a lot here. and so anyways, let me show you Netflix streaming. Let's go to Anthony Bourdain. I think the quality on all of this is really top notch. There it is here. See, now what I don't like about it is that I have to go up to settings up here and then change the volume instead of just having a little rocker.
Yeah.
That's kind of a bummer. But, you know, overall the quality still looks pretty darn good to me.
Yeah. Yeah, very nice.
Yeah. So that's video. Looks great. And then, of course, you can download. I do have some video actually downloaded in my library.
And that's something that you can't do on other tablets. Like, you can still get to Amazon Prime rentals through a browser on other tablets, but you can't download, purchase and download videos on a tablet outside of
that. Yeah, that's a very good point.
Yep. And then there's the document area. I haven't downloaded any documents on here yet, but if you have been downloading on the Amazon App Store and noticed Office To Go, Documents To Go have all been free over the last couple of days, and I downloaded it, and I'm going to start using that on this device. Here's the app area. You could see here all the apps that are on the device. If I go to the Cloud tab, you could see there's arrows next to the ones that I have, technically, but I haven't downloaded it onto the device, so they won't work unless I, you know, arm on.
Those are the ones
on
you purchased, and they're just kind of hanging
exactly.
out up there.
Now, I did do a couple things. Like, I downloaded the Barnes & Noble Nook app via GetJar. GetJar, you can download, you know, side apps that aren't. Yeah, sideload some stuff. So and it works. There's the Nook library there.
It
works. Some of the response.
It sometimes works.
Hypothetically.
It did work. I read stuff on here. I swear I read.
Oh, live demo fail.
Yep. Let's try that again.
There you go.
It takes a while to load.
Yeah.
Loading. Yeah. There we go. Now I'm looking at the Nook app. But it does work. Okay, and then the web, got to say, a little slower than that they advertised.
The caching has a big selling point, right?
Yeah. They were really
behind. It is definitely slower than what they advertised. I am playing Google Music on here. See, it's taking forever to load. Yeah. Load. Well, then there's Facebook. Load. It's slow.
Wow.
And that's not just our Wi-Fi. It is slower in general. Yep. Although here's Facebook. Yeah. Anyways. Huh. I was able to play Google Music like I mentioned. I don't know if I can do
really
that.
Through the browser?
Through the browser, yeah. Here we go. Look at that.
Interesting.
But I tried to download sideload the Android Marketplace. It won't let me add it. Some people have had success.
Yeah,
some people
are saying that actually web browsing in general is you know, they've had good success with it. It could partially be our Wi-Fi here.
Oh, but I actually tried to go to market.android.com on the web browser, on the Silk browser, and I couldn't get in. But I guess if some people, maybe those of you who have rooted or whatnot. Yeah. Overall, for $200, I'm pretty impressed with this device. Yeah. And I think there is a huge market for this device. There's a lot of people, a lot of my friends who aren't in the tech industry who absolutely cannot afford an iPad, even though they would want one, and they're going to get this. They already know it. And I have actually had a few friends, again, who aren't in the tech industry and who are actually enjoying it because they've had Kindles in the past, and they're like, well, wait, you know, for $50 more than the high-end Touch, I can get this Fire and have apps and movies, and, you know, it's just a bonus to them.
Yeah.
So, yes, it may not be a Honeycomb tablet or an iPad, but I think for $200, you get a lot of bang for your buck. I have to say.
It's not.
Did you try it yet?
I played with it a little, and it's what's kind of what I expected.
Didn't have high expectations, and maybe that was the difference.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because we were talking earlier, and actually, you are one of two people I know who have got it who are happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else I know who got it has already returned it.
Yeah.
Returned less than a couple of days.
So when you say everybody else I know, how many people would you say?
Over five.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So, a healthy handful of people. Now, admittedly, you look at what those audience are and what they're looking for. You know, we just heard your experience. My other friend didn't have a tablet, and she only had a Kindle, an original Kindle.
Yeah.
So to her, this is like mind-blowing because look at all this other stuff I can do.
Right.
I did hear the complaint going from e-ink to reading via the Kindle because she's asking me about
that.
She's asking me about it. She said, do you have a hard time reading books via the tablet? I'm like, no, I use the Kindle app on my iPad and on the Zoom all the time.
Mm-hmm.
No problem, but I've never had e-ink, so I don't know. It's like it's all where you're coming from, your perspective is.
Yeah, and I understand that. If she has a problem with reading, that's a big reason why you're going to have this. So I can understand why people would want to return it for that. They're not used to it.
And then some of the other complaints I had were just kind of that it was smaller than they thought it would be. Like the seven, you know, reading on paper 7 inches sound, like it's like, oh, I'll be all right. And then getting in their hand, like, oh, like it'd be a little bigger.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends on what people want out of their device.
Yeah.
But that said, I agree with you. I think the potential is enormous in terms of, all the people who went, and I don't mean to generalize but all the people who, the Nook Color has been a good example of a device that has sold very well.
Yes.
It's doing very well for Barnes & Noble, and that's not us who are buying it.
Right.
I don't know. Up until
I know.
A few months ago, I didn't know anybody who bought a Nook.
Yeah,
you know, and yet it was there in the market and it was working and they've built an infrastructure and now it's kind of rolling. Again, it's that same kind of person who is the target for the Nook would be the target for the Kindle, I think.
And if you are embedded in the Amazon ecosystem, I know I am. This is great because I like playing the movies and the TV shows off the app instead of on the browser. It's kind of yucky.
No, absolutely.
On either the iPad or the Honeycomb tablet. It's horrible.
That's my big frustration with the Google TV, with Amazon Prime and videos and stuff like that is it's going through the browser, which is just like, no, I want an app. I want a native app and just have it, you know, stream and that sort of, you know, so.
So, I don't know. Yeah. You can believe me if you want. I really enjoy this device. I'm going to keep it, actually. I'm going to read on it, and I'm going to take it with me
I got to admit, in terms of size, for travel, this is like...
Look how nice it fits in your hand.
Yeah.
I mean, as long... You know, I'm guessing the Amazon App Store is going to grow. There's a lot of Amazon apps that you can get on the Android that you can't get on the Fire yet, which is very frustrating, like alternate keyboards and stuff like that. I assume all of that's coming. Yeah, look, it fits
right
your butt. There
it's
we
right
go.
In my back pocket. Look at that. See, that's an important test.
No, that is a big selling point for this thing is that it's
purse.
Portable enough.
Yeah,
it's, because you look at like something like the Galaxy Tab, it's 10.1. It's just kind of, they're in different leagues because it's just so much bigger. You're not going to use that tablet in the same way that you're going to be able to use that because it's so much smaller.
So
there we go.
We have more hardware.
We do.
It just doesn't stop
here.
No,
it doesn't stop. So
an interesting little bit of news around hardware was so the Nook tablet did launch and it is out and here it is in my hand. Woo.
It's out and we know that because we have one.
Should I do this? So interesting story at least. The Nook tablet, which has previously been a fairly locked down kind of device that would that you could root, you could easily put in a different SD card or like you did, you could root naturally. But they forgot to put in some protection and there are ways to install outside apps. And Gadget had the story, and it's somewhat interesting in that you could, similar to what you're doing on with the Kindle Fire, you could pretty much sideload any app via the browser. If you're able to go to the website and then load the app, and it allows you to bypass the permissions. Previously, the Nook didn't let you do that, so it almost alleviates the need to root it at this point.
Sure.
They'll probably change it. They'll probably catch that and update it. But so are we gonna open this? I get to open it. Is yours?
No, go ahead.
You've already opened it. That's all.
Yeah, it's not a true unboxing, but it's an unboxing enough.
I had to make it fast, so I registered.
We had to make sure it was charged up, so we didn't unbox it and then go, look at this thing that we can't turn on.
It's also like some sort of puzzle on how to open it.
Because all package designs for technology have to be hard and hard to open.
Look at that. Not bad.
Yeah.
There you go.
Still has all the plasticky stuff on it.
Still has all the plasticky stuff, so...
Go ahead and take that off, Ron.
Right, Ron, it's not mine.
Does Ron have a camera here? Oh, there we go.
There you go. All right. It's not mine.
Who cares?
There you go. All right.
Let's do it.
So.
Yeah. Pull that tab.
I don't want
to. Yeah.
Just take it off. Rip it off.
Did you ever see Bert and Ernie, the Sesame Street Christmas, when Bert is like slowly opening his present? Like, that's me. That's me with
You at Christmas, you probably like peel off like, each corner of the wrapping paper, make sure not to tear it.
How does that happen? How does that work? This is compelling television. I'm sorry. All right, there we go.
There we go. Start kind of messing with it. This is just
all right. So we're gonna boot it up for the first time on TV.
There you go.
And look at that.
Woo!
That is nice.
I haven't put my account on the Netflix.
So we have
yet.
Like a little shelf here, very similar, right? And then we got a little guide that opens up and we'll show you how to use it.
The look of it has more of closer to a traditional Android look than the Amazon.
Down here,
Kindle
we have
Fire.
Got this little navigation area here. So you go to books.
You're doing more with it than I have.
So it's more, it's like almost like a widget almost like.
In
terms of that. Look at that. Yeah. So I can close that. Can
How does it compare weight-wise?
To the Kindle?
Yeah. Similar?
Similar.
Kindle looks fatter.
Kindle is fatter.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
I
similar.
Don't know. Yeah, it's very similar.
I almost want to say this is a little lighter.
I know. Actually. I almost want to say that, too.
Yeah. So they have also a little newsstand with the magazines going on here. So I can get the latest issue of OK. Oh, did Bradley Cooper get Sexiest Man Alive?
He did.
I thought it was going to be Gosling.
No, Bradley Cooper did. Right.
I can see that. I just thought it was going to be Gosling's year. Anyway, let's see. So then we get some movies, which is new to the whole Barnes & Noble environment.
Yeah, there's 16 gigs on this. Although, what was the deal with the 16 gigs? You can only put media that you purchase through the Nook store, not that you sideload. I can't remember exactly. I'll do a review of this next week. We're just showing it off for the first time, but it's kind of
interesting. There's something about the design of it that I actually
like better.
I think maybe a little bit better than the Fire.
This is very nice. This
kind
almost
of
feels
brushed look to it.
This almost feels more consumer friendly.
Yeah,
you know, and consumer is a nice way of saying normal friendly.
But you don't
have
the Amazon App Store. I'm sorry, you don't have the Amazon ecosystem on there, which to me is the difference.
But you have the Barnes & Noble ecosystem. Yeah. So I mean, I know, but they're working hard to build that up.
It's just not as good though.
Yeah,
you have to admit, it's not as good.
Browser here. That's not bad, right? So you can go anywhere. You can...
Yeah, they want you to do the back pocket test.
Do you want me to do the back pocket test? All right, shall we? All right.
That's the one.
Bad. These aren't my devices.
That's okay. Just do it. Just do it. It's fine.
And even if it doesn't fit, you can just attach it to your belt with that little loop.
We'll know.
Here
we go.
And for the audio listeners, Ron is...
He's having a difficult time.
He's more having a hard time finding his pocket.
Yeah, there we go. Now he's got it.
I mean,
it's...
It works, but it peeps out a little bit more than...
Now, the thing is, you're not going to sit down on it. The idea is you put it in your back pocket when you're going through security at the airport. Right. Although you probably can't do that
either. No, you can't do that either.
But, but you know what I mean.
They're going to ding you for that.
Yeah. He's got a nook.
Anyways, that's our first look. Maybe what I'll do is I'll throw my Netflix account on there. Maybe we'll see some video in a little bit.
Interesting. So when you hit music, it comes up with... well, that's what's in both music and movies. It comes up with this little widget, and it suggests you to either go to the apps within the tablet, like the music player, or to Pandora.
Okay.
Like, so it's suggesting the apps that are already preloaded on it. But this is pretty cool. This is pretty neat. I'm impressed. I am impressed.
Cool.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was impressed with the Nook Color originally too, so I'm not surprised that we're impressed with that. I'll load my account, my Netflix account, so we can take a look at streaming.
SD card, same thing, same dealio with the SD card, the little thing.
Yeah,
there. See that?
Sweet in the corner.
In the corner,
it actually has a purpose down there.
Yep.
But,
I love the hook. I was having a long,
conversation. People didn't like the hook, but I like the hook.
Well, no, because here's the thing about the hook. Okay, here's in defense of the Nook hook. Okay, I had a long conversation last week with one of my coworkers, and we were talking about the Kindle Fire. We're talking about the Nook because it's very much part of our business. Mm-hmm. You know, we make it. You know, we do digital comics. This is a great device for them to read it and all that stuff. And I was saying the Kindle Fire versus... Can you undo this? The Kindle Fire versus the Nook in terms of hardware, bezels, and that sort of thing. This is...
Sexier,
This is the one that people are going to remember. You know why? Because it's got a little bit of industrial design around it.
It has a little bit of style to it.
It has a little bit of style. This is just a black brick in comparison to it. There's nothing unique about it. There's nothing whatever.
Yeah.
That hook and that little Nook button go a long way in terms of just perception, I think. And I think we underestimate that. I think we make fun of it. Like, what am I going to attach a carabiner to it or whatever? But like, I think it's actually, it does a service to Barnes & Noble that's very subtle.
Certainly brings its own personality to the device, which there aren't a whole lot of devices that you could say that about.
Yeah,
that have like a kind of a personality, an inherent design personality.
An identity. I mean, if you watch the movie Objectified by Gary Huswitt, who did the documentary Helvetica, great documentary. It's on Netflix called Objectified, and it's all about industrial design and product design and what goes into it and why that's important. And I think when you look at what we talked about with Android tablets failing and not failing, or not doing well, it's because I think the Android tablets tend to be a little too generic from a hardware standpoint.
And they do have a volume button on the side, was nice. Yeah. I wanted to turn that down so that you don't hear me going.
It's interesting. They compete. Well together, you know, but we've said it before, having the Amazon ecosystem tied into the tablet is a big deal.
Well, because the thing, what I think is interesting is that the Amazon ecosystem, the Amazon media support, they have a leg up over Barnes & Noble because Barnes & Noble hasn't been doing that as long as they have. But Barnes & Noble has a leg up over Amazon in having a device. They've had the Nook Color on the market for a year now. How long has it been out for? Mm-hmm. So they actually are a little ahead as well. So if you look at the jockeying, so I don't know. I think it's really interesting. I mean, these tablet wars are cracking me up. I mean, they're a lot of fun to watch on the sidelines. So.
Oh, and they also now I've just downloaded my Netflix on here. So let's take a look at Bourdain on here really quick. Just a little video quality test. Oh, I should turn up. I don't know what I'm doing here. Media volume.
Because there's no media to play.
Yeah, because it doesn't catch it unless
there it is.
It's playing. There you go.
Speaker's a little less.
I think your hand was over it.
There we go.
Sound very similar. Is this maybe the speaker is a little bit less on this one?
Yeah.
A little bit more.
I think it's a nifty little device.
Yeah.
Cool. That's good.
All right. Well, let's move on. I don't really have to spend a whole lot of time on this because there's not a whole lot to show off.
But it's fun and it's phone related.
Yeah, this is phone. This is
phone
related.
This is going to be awesome. Here we go.
Well, we have a lot. There's only so much we can talk about. But this is Ice Cream Sandwich on an XSS. I texted Eileen because it's not my Nexus S. I said, hey, so, you know, just throwing this out there. You want me to put Ice Cream Sandwich on the Nexus S?
And
there are ROMs out there.
And I yelled on, do it! capital letters.
Do it
for us.
So I stayed up late. I'm tired as a result today, but I spent the time. I rooted the phone. It actually wasn't that hard to root this phone when I kind of did a little bit of reading and research on it. I'm going to have all of the information for how I got my Nexus S running ice cream sandwich in the show notes at twit.tv/AAA. But as you can see here, it's a Nexus S. Running ice cream sandwich. I have not had much of a chance to really play with it a whole lot because I did this last night, and then today's just been super crazy. But I mean, first impression is just how smooth everything feels when you're kind of thumbing through it and pulling up your apps. And I mean, everything just feels super smooth and everything. Let's see here. What can I drop down? I'll drop down bookmarks, even though I don't have any. But
nice.
It's
fun to see this.
Whatever. And of course, that actually leads me to the fact that there's actual browser sync in here, which, again, I forgot about until I had this again. And I was like, oh, wait a minute, that's really cool. I'm so happy that that's permanently a part of the OS now. But, you know, it's just cool. I can't wait to spend a little bit more time with it. I was playing around with Panorama a little bit earlier, and I didn't have the best luck because I'm inside here the studio. But
did you
do it at a view?
You probably didn't do face lock yet.
No, I didn't try that yet.
Okay. You didn't try that? That's the one thing I'd be curious about.
I didn't set that up yet. Like I said, I just installed it, and so I'm just kind of showing it off. We have it now. It's tied to our All About Android account,
yes!
So it's left neutral.
Yay!
For the most part. So I'm sure you will hear more about this in the coming weeks, but I don't know. It's really cool. This is like one of the things that I really love about Android.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about it a little bit before the show started. But, I mean, they released the open source code for Ice Cream Sandwich. And now the flagship phone that everybody was waiting for to get it has been, you know, at least in the U.S., is dragging its feet.
Yeah.
And as a result, everybody else can kind of beat them to the punch on Ice Cream Sandwich. I mean, it's just awesome that that folks have ported this off. This is actually a ROM by Kuibu in XDA developers forums, and he did this port. So I'll have the notes on it. And totally just related and real quick here, CyanogenMod, Kush from CyanogenMod tweeted out that Ice Cream Sandwich is running well on his Galaxy Tab 10.1, which means we can probably see that very soon, which will force me to root my Galaxy Tab finally, because I've been meaning to and install that, because I can't wait.
Cool.
So now we're moving on to you.
Yeah, we're moving on to me again.
The hardware palooza.
I know. It's kind of crazy.
Remember we got the Jetstream?
Yeah, a couple of episodes when our buddy from HTC was here.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Michael Ludden was here from HTC, gave us the HTC Jetstream tablet, and I have a little review that I did for it. So here we go.
What's up? I'm Jason Howell, and I'm here with twit.tv, and I have in my cold hands here the HTC Jetstream. This is HTC's follow-up to the HTC Flyer tablet, their first 10.1-inch tablet, and it was just released not too long ago on AT&T's 4G LTE network. I unfortunately don't have LTE or AT&T service on this tablet, so I wasn't able to spend a whole lot of time with the LTE portion of the tablet, but I used it plenty on Wi-Fi, so this is kind of my first take on it. It's a dual-core 1.5 gigahertz Snapdragon processor with 1 gigabyte of RAM, 32 gigs of internal storage that you can swap out. It's a micro SD card in there, and it's running currently Android 3.1 Honeycomb. It's $700 on contract with AT&T. If you want to get it outside of contract, it's $850. One thing that I really like about HTC is you get some pretty solid build quality. You can kind of see it's got this nice brushed chrome-like backing on the tablet. And just when you feel it, it feels a lot different than if I grab here. This is my Samsung Galaxy Tab, which has a very kind of plasticky backing and just kind of feels a little bit cheaper. HTC goes out and really makes their devices feel pretty solid and sturdy, but kind of comes at a price too, because what you can see, and actually I'll bring back the Galaxy Tab to kind of compare the two. The Galaxy Tab is much thinner, and I mean that's kind of the calling card of the Galaxy Tab, is that it's thin and light, versus the HTC Jetstream. It's got a pretty solid feel to it, but the Jetstream is pretty heavy. It has a proprietary micro USB port that requires you to use HTC's micro USB cord in order to plug it in and charge it, which is kind of a bummer. On this side, you have the volume rocker, which is actually actually feels really nice and works really well. The display itself is a 10.1 inch display. It's it has 1280 by 800 resolution as WXGA, and which sounds great, and it's really super bright and punchy. The problem that I have again with this is that the pixel density seems to be a little poor. So when you kind of have it at your normal viewing distance, some of the smaller fonts have that kind of rough outer edge to them. Camera performance, the camera actually is really good. It's got an 8 megapixel rear camera and it has a 1.3 megapixel front camera. And, you know, I don't really take a whole lot of pictures with my tablet, but if you happen to have this tablet and you're taking pictures, I mean, the rear facing camera actually has some pretty good detail to it for the most part. If you get really far in, you start to see a little bit of that crunchiness. But I mean, 8 megapixels is decent, and HTC has pretty decent cameras and a lot of their devices. This is no different. System performance. Now, it has that really kind of chunky dual core 1.5 gigahertz Snapdragon processor. So you'd hope that it would perform really well. The gaming performance on this tablet is actually pretty solid. You see a lot of the details are just super, super fluid. It responded really well in a gaming perspective. Where it kind of seems to slide backwards a little bit is when you get into just the Android UI, and even further than that, the Sense UI. Overall, I kind of expected the OS to be a little bit snappier and less laggy than I found it to be through extended use. The battery life, I mean, I have no complaints on that. I hardly had to charge this thing at all, and I feel like I was using it pretty regularly. I also wasn't using 4G, so that could be a big, you know, a big difference in what kind of performance you get out of it if you're using 4G regularly. And finally, you might notice that I've been doing this review with the HTC Scribe Digital Pen. It does kind of feel like an afterthought. I guess with a stylus, with a digital pen like this, you kind of want a place to put it, and there's no place to put it. It doesn't come with the tablet. It's an extra cost on top of the accessory. I think it's somewhere like $70 to $80 extra if you want the pen. But when you have it, I mean, it was the problem that I ran into. It was like, okay, well, where do I put it without losing it? And when I want it, it's not there with the tablet. Overall, if I had to choose whether I recommend the HTC Jetstream or not, I'd have to say I probably would not recommend it as a buy. I certainly wouldn't buy it for myself. The cost, the extra cost, isn't justified in my mind. Having said that, if you have a little bit extra money to spend and you're a huge fan of HTC hardware, you might find the justification. So I would recommend you go to AT&T, check out their HTC Jetstream, and see what you think of it. It's certainly a nice piece of hardware. I just wouldn't shell out my hard-earned money for it. I'm Jason Howell with twit.tv. Thanks for watching.
There we go.
You were longingly watching yourself there. You were just like,
that Jason Howell, he knows how to review tablets.
He's dreamy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was lost.
I was lost in my own review.
Watching myself.
You got lost in the blue, didn't you?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's actually, it is a really nice tablet. I enjoyed using it. It obviously, the big downside is the cost. And I think that's just a deal breaker right there. There is just no reason to spend that kind of money on a tablet that is, you know, thicker and heavier than at least my Galaxy Tab and probably right on par with the Zoom.
Right.
So yeah, the deal breaker. Don't see the justification. There.
The deal breaker is not the pen storage.
Well, the pen is like an additional accessory,
I know,
right?
I know.
So not only do you have to be fine with paying extra for it,
yeah, sure.
But then it's like
even
you
more
know,
money.
A pen is no good if you don't have it with you. So it's like if it's a bonus, you know, if it's like added value for this tablet and there's no real place to put it. I mean, I just know myself. The pen's not going to end up with me when I need it.
Yeah.
So, but I appreciated kind of playing around with it because it's an expensive tablet. So it was nice to have an expensive tablet to play with, I guess.
Cool.
There's that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's waste no time. Let's go right to apps.
I feel like doing a clap.
Google Music. You know, there was a little thing last week about Google Music.
A little bit.
Heard
about that.
Yeah. A little announcement.
They took the curtain off of the beta, and they removed the beta from it. So
probably
it's
one of the shortest betas in Google history, I think.
No kidding.
Yeah, that was a fast beta.
That was a really fast beta. I'm really happy they took it out of beta, too. Yeah. They need people to jump on board. So they're offering a lot of really cool stuff. It remains free, first of all.
Thank God.
I hate to say it. I was willing to pay for it. I was willing to pay for the storage, just because I use it all the time.
They totally would have gotten me hook, line, and sinker because I've already uploaded everything. Now, now that I've gotten used to it, I wouldn't want to lose it. So I would
kinda
be like,
it's kind of the Google way to like be like, yeah, see how awesome that is? Yeah, it's free.
And it's free. Just have it. Thanks. So, thanks, Google.
Up to 20,000 songs. And I'd say for, you know, at least for my library, I'm only at half that right now.
I'm at 3/4 there.
Okay. So got space here. 13 million songs in their actual store. They have an actual a music store now. That's versus iTunes 20 million and Amazon 17 million. So 13 million songs is actually, I think, not really that bad coming right out of the gate. Hopefully they can make some more deals.
Although I've been trying to buy music on Google Music. And three albums in a row, I use eMusic, I use Amazon, I use iTunes, I use Google, and Google was the highest priced of them all. I've yet to buy anything yet because, like, literally there was one album that I wanted that was $9.49 on Google, $8.99 on Amazon, and $5.99 on eMusic. And I was like, I'm just going to use eMusic, you know? So that's the one thing. They got to be doing a little price matching at least to Amazon and to iTunes, I think.
That's a really good point. 320 kilobyte MP3s, so high bit rate. Mm-hmm. Support for FLAC, which I really like that as well. Not that I have a huge amount of FLAC, but it's nice to have that support. We mentioned the full MP3 store. Emphasis on social, which this is kind of what their big secret was, their big twist that they were talking about a few months back. Basically, the sharing of albums and songs through Google Plus with your circles. And when that's done, it enables the recipient to stream that song for free once.
Yeah. Now, I had a difficult time with this. I have my phone here, Chad, where I've got a song here that I downloaded from Google Music, and then all you do is you hit share. This is one that you could share. You could share any song, but only songs that you buy from Google Music, you can actually get the full preview. The full listen of the entire song. So last time I tried sharing, it didn't work. I don't know if that was just a bug or whatnot. Sharing song. Let's see if I can share it to all my circles. And also the people that you are... who you've circled can see the there was a problem with sharing. I've had issues with that. Has anybody else? I don't know. I've tried to share on my phone.
I have not had a chance to play with it yet because the Google Plus integration was one that because me and my friend have always been complaining. I just want to say, hey, listen to the song.
Yeah.
And so I actually haven't had a chance to play with it yet. So I'm actually excited to do that.
I've shared music that I have already purchased, but and depending on the artist, it'll be either 30 seconds or up to a minute and a half. You know, just depends on what the artist had. You know, chosen. But off the web, I've been able to share, but on my phone, and that's what I really wanted to get to. And I haven't been able to do that yet. It's still giving me the error.
Be able to do it super spontaneously. So anyways, that's cool. They allow artists to set prices. They also are very artist indie friendly, which I'm a huge supporter of. Music.google.com/artists. If you're an independent musician, you can set up your own artist page, and
smart.
I've got something. Yeah, I'm like, okay, I'm in. I'm doing it. I use Bandcamp. This is kind of like Google's version of Bandcamp, which
bye Bandcamp.
What's that?
Bye Bandcamp.
Potentially, Bandcamp has a feature that I wish that this had, which is the name your price as a purchaser.
Yes, that is a cool feature,
and I really wish that they would offer that because, I don't think I would feel comfortable putting my music up and saying, "Yeah, you got to pay $10 for my CD."
Hey, man, your music is good. But, you shouldn't.
Thank you. But I would rather put that in the hands of the person that's buying and just be like, you know what? I don't care if you get it for free because you're listening to it. If you really feel like it's worth something to you, then that's great too. So maybe they'll get that. They'll get that someday. They also pay artists the best of all the three services. Artists get 70% of all revenue versus 55 to 65% from iTunes and 55 to 70% from Amazon. So very artist friendly. They updated the Google Music app, updated with a nice ice cream sandwich overhaul. Do I have it on here?
I was just showing it off.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. Well, then you saw it. Great. And they also updated the Android Market, obviously, to give you access to the music.
Yeah. So now when you go to the Android Market on the web, you see music, you see media. The marketplace is getting more, not just apps. And you got to support 13 million songs to be able to buy them somehow. So,
Absolutely. And that was just pushed silently server-side to phones. So it wasn't like new app that you had to install over anything.
Exactly.
I guess that's that's how they update that. But anyways, Google Music, what do you guys think?
Well, to add to that, one of my biggest, again, you can drink, complaints about Google TV was that I was ecstatic that finally the Google Music via the web worked, because on the first version of Google TV, it just didn't work. It wouldn't play back. And so when Google TV first came out, I immediately went to my browser. I went to music.google.com. I could play music, yay. And then I immediately was like, oh, I wish there was an app. Mm-hmm. And then finally, with the Google Music announcement, they rolled out the Google TV version of Google Music, which after I stopped dancing in place because I was so excited to be there.
Did you dance?
So it was great. So I installed it immediately. It looks very much like the tablet version of the app or the phone version of the app. It's very ice cream sandwichy. The UI is very similar. Admittedly, I have 15,000 songs, so it took forever to sync my library.
Oh, yeah.
But once I did that, then it was fine. When I last left it, though, not all my album art – I'm like totally OCD about album art, mm-hmm. and not all the album art had loaded yet. So I don't know if that – I just got to leave it on overnight, let it do that, or I don't know exactly how that works, but I could search for an album. I searched Noel Gallagher, played the new record.
That's
and it
awesome.
Was just yeah, and it was just going great. Yeah, mm-hmm. So I the Google TV Google Music app is like, so I put it right in my dock, and it's like my number two, I think. And so
your jukebox
now. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I mean that because my home, and now we're getting to a little more specific, but my home theater setup has been external hard drive to my laptop with iTunes, AirPlay to an Apple TV to the stereo.
Now, this is gonna say, oh man.
It's over. It's game over. Yeah, now, the only complaint, the only thing I'm missing is Last.fm scrabbling. That's the only thing I'm missing that iTunes does give me. But whatever,
can I get Google Music on, even though I haven't been updated yet? I haven't tried.
What, on the review?
On the review,
yeah.
No, because there's no App Store.
Got it.
Yeah. It's through the App Store.
Thank you. Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, you can only get the Google Music through the App Store. Yeah, so you review people. I'm sorry, you got to wait a little longer.
I know. I'm still waiting.
And we should mention for all of those who are not in the U.S. that are screaming at me right now to at least mention that it's U.S. only right now, which sucks.
Right.
As per usual. And
we have
really
no control over that.
Not everybody has access to this.
Yeah.
I hope that you do soon. We're gunning for you guys because it's really cool. You'll get it.
Yeah, it was very, very cool. So I'm excited. So now, now I've got it totally integrated into my home theater, home stereo system. So it's awesome.
G Miola in the chat room says, leaked Honeycomb on review works fine with Google Music.
There you go.
Well, I'm going to wait for the official update.
Yeah.
I'm not in a hurry.
You might be waiting a while.
Nice. Yeah. No, they said end of the month or early December.
They say a lot of things.
They say a lot of things.
We shall see.
Okay, I just have a couple of app updates, a couple apps that I've been obsessed with on the iOS platform that I've been waiting for to come to Android has finally hit. One of them is Tiny Tower, which is an 8-bit casual game. You can see it here on my Samsung Galaxy Tab. It's an 8-bit game. Basically, you build...
It's loaded.
It's loading. So basically, you build a tower, and every floor has either a restaurant or like laundromat or some services. And I swear, you get lost in it. And I love the soundtrack. So
it's very 8-bitty.
It is 8-bit. So basically, all you do is you take your person up the lift. Oh, he wants to go to 3. Let's get him to the pizza store. You give people jobs.
Is this a tablet game or is it a phone?
No, it's also on the phone.
Right,
I will say that in my experience playing it on the iOS platform, it's a battery hog, so be careful. And there's a lot of people here who didn't like a lot of the permissions that it was asking for. So just, I think it's fine. These guys have been around for a while. I only have 4 floors on the Honeycomb tablet. I have 66. I couldn't port my iOS stuff here, which I was kind of sad about. So it's kind of difficult for me to think about starting all over again because that took me months, and I loved it because I played it while watching intense scenes of Breaking Bad. But I might pick it up again because I'm watching American Horror Story, and that's really, really disturbing.
All of your hardcore gaming happens during
it's very casual. It just helps me, play. And every time I listen to the soundtrack, I think of Walter White. One more game that's out in the Android marketplace that Leo's been playing for a while. He doesn't play it anymore. Is called We Rule. And to your heart's content, crop away. This is a game, that I've been waiting for a long time. I actually don't play it anymore. The good thing about it is that I was able to port my iOS levels. So my level 55 is on my phone. I'm very, very happy.
Very cool.
It's going to take forever to load. So anyways, those are 2 new apps in the Android marketplace. Enjoy. I'm ETV time at We Rule. I don't know how much I'm really going to play, to be honest, because I haven't played it in months. But I'm glad it's finally here.
Apparently. Apparently, Knox Harrington is saying Leo abandoned his kingdom as
well.
Oh,
I know. He did. Yeah. He abandoned before me. I was still playing.
How could you abandon your kingdom?
It's responsibilities.
Yeah.
It just, I got to
they
a
relied on Leo.
It's tragic.
And it was over. But anyways.
Broke their heart.
Casual games, new fun games for you.
All right. Cool. Well, let's do this email because we actually can squeeze it in here real quick.
Okay.
Should I read it or you want to read
it? Oh, sure. This is for Jason, Eileen, and Ron. I love the show. It's easily one of my favorite Twitch shows and the only one I watch on video. Yay! I listen to most of the Twitch shows. I have a lot of MP3s. I ripped from CDs back in the late 90s since storage space was premium back then. I ripped most of the music at 96 kilobytes per second or 128. After multiple moves, a marriage, and a baby, I've misplaced the CDs. iTunes Match seems like the perfect service for me, except that I hate iTunes. I'm a loyal Google fanboy. Could I pay $25 to iTunes to match all my music, then download the high-quality songs, and finally upload the high-quality songs into Google Music? I love Google Music, and I use it every day, but I'm wondering if this would allow me to get high-quality versions of my music for $25. Is this an easy thing to do, or do I have to individually download each file? I'd love to hear your experiences and thoughts, especially since especially Eileen, since I know Tom is already using iTunes Match. Huh. Chuck Kelly, and I asked Tom for you. He said it's possible, but we're not quite sure if you have to download each song individually after uploading an iTunes Match.
Like you probably couldn't do a batch.
No, well, yeah, I'm not quite sure. Well, I don't use iTunes Match, but he's not too sure either.
But it is
possible.
Yeah, I don't use iTunes Match either, so I don't know exactly how that goes. But if you have, thing is, if you have your library and you've installed the Google, and I'm assuming
it's
I'm on OS X. I can never say that.
I know,
I'm on a Mac, and but the Google has the Google Music daemon on both Mac and PC, and what that does, that takes your library and slowly uploads it to Google Music. So if you've done that already, your library is filled with music in there, and I don't know how it will work knowing that it's a new version. You know, I don't know if
I don't think he's uploaded to Google Music yet.
He says he uses Google Music all the time.
Oh.
Yeah.
Darn it.
So
you might want to get rid of your account.
What you might need to do is you might need to set up a new Google account through a new Google Music account and then resync it and re-upload the new high quality. Download all the high quality first and then upload fresh from there. Because I'm not quite sure if Google Music is identifying based off track, artist track, or date modified. You know?
So it might be date modified.
Yeah.
So be careful
with
that.
Yeah, or you'd end up with duplicates. For a lot of
So them, I would wipe clean Google Music if you can. If you can delete it all from your current account or start a new account.
Man, that sounds like a lot of work.
It does sound like a lot of work.
But he's serious about it, and you know. I hope that helps, Chuck.
I mean, that's a cheap way to replenish.
I know.
Smart.
I hadn't even thought about it until I read this, and I thought, oh my God, that's such a smart thing to do. Wow. It's just a lot of time.
Oh yeah. Well, you're a lot of time no matter what. I mean, because I'm in the same boat. I ripped all my CDs that are now in milk crates in my parents' basement on Long Island. That was like in 2003 or 2004, and I think I did them at 128. So if I wanted to do it higher, it would probably take longer for me to rip the CDs.
It'd take some time. And you'd have to ship them all out here or do it all back at home. All right, well, that's interesting. Let's take a quick break and thank our other sponsor, Squarespace.com. Fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. Squarespace has it. That's right. They have it. They have the solution to you and your website and making it easy for you to build. Easy-to-use UI for creating and managing a website or blog, optimized for both beginners and CSS experts.
Dude, it's so
Eileen,
easy.
You're saying they have new templates.
Oh, man. If you go to eileentv.squarespace.com, I just changed it today. I got an email from Squarespace last week, and they said they have all these new templates and they have all these new fonts. And sure enough, they do. This is great. I love it when they update. They haven't updated in a long time. Check that out.
It's a blog of stuff.
I went with green. It is my favorite color, not just because I do this show. I changed it up
Android,
a little bit.
Eileen.
Yeah, I had a little pink bar and all of that. And then
look at Moneyball's green. There you go.
I know. That was accidental, but I mean, honestly, I'm so excited by all of these new themes. I just happen to be, I really like that green color.
Yeah.
But anyways.
That's cool. Yeah, because my site, my blog, I paid someone to make a theme for me and to do all the stuff like that. Because that was way back when there weren't, as you know, I was kind of tired of those stuff like that. Now that they're adding new templates in there, you don't have to worry about trying to do that kind of thing.
They have added a ton. And then you can really easily customize and kind of change the width and, you know, how many columns. It's so easy to use. So I'm super excited.
It's a lot of fun to create a site through Squarespace. It's almost like playing your own little design game, too.
Totally.
You can just totally get lost in it. You sit down with their controls. They're super easy to use. And you just kind of play around. And eventually things kind of fall where they do. And you're happy with where you've ended up. And it wasn't that hard. Not as hard as using
too much
like Dreamweaver or whatever.
Dreamweaver.
I remember that. Wow.
Yeah, I never never had
Dreamweaver actually drove me to learn how to not use a WYSIWYG editor. I was like, I need to learn code. I can't do
it. Yeah, right. Yeah, totally. It forces you in that direction. So you should check out Squarespace. You can actually do it for free. You can check out a free trial. Go to squarespace.com. You don't even need any specific URL or whatever. Just go to squarespace.com and sign up for a free account. No credit card is needed when you do that. You just try it out. Start building your website. If you decide to purchase it, use our offer code, Android11, and you get 20% off for 6 months. That's a pretty good deal. Squarespace.com, use the offer code Android11, and check it out. Make a pretty site with their new templates, and you'll see how easy it is.
Yeah, really
cool.
Yeah,
I love Squarespace. I put all my monthly music mixes up on my site.
What's your site again?
RonXO.com.
And, that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. And I put video when I see bands. I take video. It's great. Yeah. So
nice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Sweet. All right. So check it out. And
oh, there it is.
There it is. My latest.
Look how nice that is.
My
this
October
is
mix
real.
Is up there.
I better listen to that mix. Cool.
Nice. All right. So let's jump into the arena.
Maybe.
Two enter. One lives. Android Arena.
All right.
Someone's smirking over here.
So, yeah. We knew this was going to happen, right?
Yeah, eventually we knew that was going to happen. Congratulations, Ron.
Episode 34 of All About Android was...
look at that.
Yeah, grab bag episode. First place, ESPN Score Center, Ron's app with 47% of the votes. Second place, SoundCloud, 28%. And third place... 25% for Craigslist Notifica.
Not surprisingly, dominating in the United States.
Yeah.
And ironically, it looks like Libya.
Where's my Brazil?
Oh, no, Algeria. I'm sorry, Algeria.
I still got Idaho. Yeah.
You did you?
I love the...
Yeah.
So Algeria loves the ESPN. And as does India as well.
I would like to think that if we're still doing this show in 20 years, that entire globe will be filled completely.
Yes.
So 20 years, that's all we need to do.
20 years, that's it?
Yeah.
I think sooner.
Thank you, France. Thank you, Japan.
We won't do the show longer than that.
But. All I got to say is that I figured out how to game the arena. That's all I said I was going to win this week, and I did.
Yeah, you did. Well, you do. Yeah.
You got some fans in here. Tyler on Go Pogo. Run, and caps.
All right, so this week we figured it was a tablet-centric episode, so we might as well kind of make things tablet-focused in the arena. I can't say that my app is, hopefully good apps aren't only tablet.
Like, right.
Sure, don't only work on a tablet. But my app is actually a game, and it looks pretty damn good on a tablet.
All right.
So I chose
Let's
it,
see
and
it.
I've been wanting to talk about it. I should also mention, maybe this is a downside for this game. It's called Sprinkle, that I bought it way back when.
Sprinkle.
Yeah. Sprinkle. I brought it way back when, and I can never get it to work on my Galaxy Tab. I don't know why it won't play on my Galaxy Tab. Yeah. But then I got the Jetstream, and it works on here. I finally got to play this game that I paid for. Why did I pay for it if it didn't work and not return it? But I did that because it's a cool looking game. It's a lot of fun. So basically, it follows the world format of things like Angry Birds and everything, right?
Man, they really own UI, like
totally. Yeah. Like it's solid on a mobile device to play games like this because
it
keeps them super casual.
Yeah.
But Sprinkle. So the premise behind this, if you aren't watching the video, is that. Every level has little fires that are kind of happening throughout. And you've got this thing that you can raise with your left hand. It's basically a big hose that you can raise or drop. You can also rotate it up and down. And then this red button down here, that's how you shoot your water, right? So you're basically trying to put out these fires. And before, you see all those huts over there? Before the huts light on fire. I'm going to try and do this sideways. It's always the hard part. But see, there's different items like these rocks here. That if I blow them, they will go and plug up a hole and allow me to do other things like get to different areas here and put out the fires. And I don't think I'm going to probably do very well on this level. You have a limited amount of water with which to actually put out your fire. So you don't want to run out of the water. That's done with this little meter down there. And you can see I didn't really perform so well on this. But I mean, and that's kind of it. It's got a bunch of different levels. I think what I really like about this on the tablet is that the graphics are just super buttery smooth. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I love it when it's water.
Buttery smooth.
I love that.
I love it when water in particular is rendered well in games and, you know, digitally. It's just water is such a complex thing. And they do it really well on here. So you can see as you get to these later kind of levels that are a little bit more complicated, you have to start kind of being very, you have to really kind of figure out exactly where you shoot the water to do the different things.
Oh, that's so cool.
I think up here you have to go back there so you can push the rock down, then it blocks it, then you have to go down there. Oh, my hut's lit on fire and they're ablaze, so I lost, but...
That's really cool.
Anyways, it's a lot of fun. It's really good graphics. It's smooth gameplay. And it works really and looks really well.
Is it
good on a... Yes, it's buttery smooth.
Yes.
Buttery smooth.
Like popcorn. Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun. It's called Sprinkle. Check it out. It's $1.99 in the App Store. And
that's
totally worth it. So check it out. Sprinkle. Boom, done.
Oh, I think it's my
turn. You're up. Yeah, you're up.
Oh,
you're up, sister.
All right, well... I had a different app planned, and it was a game.
You did have a different app.
You know what it was. It was a game, and then last night I was like, you know, I need to level up a little bit more.
Oh.
And
did
then,
you look to see the results of last week?
No. Had nothing to do with the results. It had more to do with the game.
Yeah.
And then as I was trying to level up, either I really suck or I really cannot stand the controls on the tablet. After a while, I was like, wait a minute. And then you can't customize the controls like some games, so I threw that one out. I'm still going to, you know, go back to it, but I had it already. I was excited because it looks really dynamic. But then there's a couple things with the game I couldn't. Ugh, I was so frustrated with, and also I couldn't break that level. I was so mad. I was sitting there. I was like, grr, we were watching The Walking Dead, and I was like, grr.
It's not your fault.
Anyway, so I found another app, which I was surprised was actually in the Android marketplace because I had heard a lot about it because all the iPad people were talking about it, and then I found it in the Android marketplace. It is called A Charlie Brown Christmas.
Who's that?
A Charlie Brown Christmas.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Yes, you do. All right, let me load up the app here.
You're making it all seasonal.
I am making it seasonal, aren't I? Oh, you want me to plug in?
Oh, the audio. Here you go.
Do, do, do.
It might be too loud.
Top.
Oh, it's got a
nice
little record playing.
I can't hear
it. It's got the hop, hop, and hiss, too.
Can I hear it? Oh.
I thought it was.
I still can't hear it.
If you listen closely, you hear the hiss and pop of the record player.
You can. Okay, so basically, it is the cartoon, Charlie Brown Christmas brought to life into an app. And what I'll show you here is like it's a little book.
Yeah.
And there's little things that you can do to start, like decorate the tree.
Aww.
I'm going to change my.
I have to get my nieces this.
Oh, look at that. Whoop. Stick it on the tree.
Kidding.
Fun stuff like that. I'm done. You know, there's many other ways to decorate the tree with a star.
Virtual Christmas tree decoration.
You know, that starts off.
You're
and then
totally going to win this one.
Here we go. Narrator.
Yeah, it's the nostalgia.
The actual narrator to the app is the original Charlie Brown voice.
Really?
I can't remember his name.
Does
his
it just
name.
Go, quack, 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 quack?
No, it started here. Oh. Let's see here.
Yeah, you gotta do the
Christmas.
I'm not remembering how to play this right. But
well, maybe you'd win if you knew how to use your app.
I used it yesterday. Here we go.
Christmas time was here. A time when snowflakes fell softly and Christmas carols rang through the air.
And look at, I can make
for
these guys move. Check this out.
It was their favorite time of year.
Look at it.
Oh, that is.
All right, so I'm gonna change. There's Charlie Brown.
But not for Charlie Brown. He was feeling a little down.
Oh.
I think there must be something wrong with me, Linus. Christmas is coming, but I'm not happy. I don't feel the way I'm supposed to feel. Just don't understand Christmas,
Isn't
I guess.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah.
Okay, if I bring down the bookmark here, I can go, I can skip. Why don't I just skip to the dance?
Oh, I like that.
Shall I?
At the auditorium, the gang was dancing around, waiting for Charlie Brown.
Dance, dance.
You make him dance?
Oh, that's cool.
I'm playing with the piano keys here on the app.
I love that dude.
No kidding.
That's the best dude. I love him.
Isn't this fun? I was just playing with this and just remembering seeing this for the first time.
Oh, you're totally ruining my no Christmas music before Thanksgiving.
Sorry.
Oh, well. God.
Anyways, it goes on. The whole story is here. There's actually some challenges and rewards by going back in and unlocking certain prizes. And you know, you noticed here that I was, you know, it's a good little game. I love the Christmas. Where's the tree part where he goes and finds the tree?
Man, you're going for the jugular.
And
I know. It's so brutal.
You know, some of these... Move around. There's Charlie Brown. What other scene do you want to see? Do you want to see Charlie?
I'm just going to cry.
Here's Snoopy.
Oh, no. That one when Linus...
Lights, please.
Lights, please.
Oh.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord
that's
came
great.
Upon them. They were so afraid.
It's a great source for reading for kids, learning.
I know.
If you noticed how before
I touched it,
so yeah. It's
I'm
like
totally
buying
my nieces this. Shepherds. This is fantastic.
Isn't this fantastic? I'm just so ecstatic that the developers, Loud Crow Interactive, gave it to Android as well. I'm so happy, and it works on the phone.
That's great.
It is $6.99. Might be a little steep for some people, but I'm telling you, the interactivity and just the whole sort of sentimentality of a Charlie Brown Christmas is all in this app with the original songs and the original voices.
Yeah, you know,
it's great, and there's a little bit of gameplay in there as well as education, kind of tied in.
It's not over once you read it. Like there's,
it's not. Yeah. You can go back. Yeah, because I noticed at the end, I was like, oh, so I just read the story. Oh no, let me go try and get the rewards. So I have to go and get Snoopy to skate a little bit longer.
Yeah,
gotta do something.
Cool.
You know, there's all these little, and who knows what they might add. There's as the app kind of, you know, lives longer. And there's, you know, hey, decorate the tree more. Maybe Lucy can give you some advice. Okay, all right. So awesome. So this doesn't just end by reading and listening to the story. I was so happy that this came to Android, and I hope you guys like it too. A Charlie Brown Christmas.
Oh, jeez. You probably should have went last.
This is crap. Forget this.
Ron just gave up.
Well, no, what's sad is that my app is totally like flies in the face of everything that stands for. It's like, I can't, I'm embarrassed now. It's like,
why are you embarrassed? Well, I mean, look, the thing I don't have going for me is price.
Well, you know what, but I'll go ahead and say on the other side of this too, because I showed off last week that Going to Bed book, and it was a little bit more pricey too. Mm-hmm. But when you compare it to the actual Dead Trees version of it, mm-hmm. I mean, they're that cost, if not a little bit more.
That's
and
true.
I guess in one sense, some people like to have that tactile thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's pretty close to the same price, right? So if you're buying the story, you're just buying it in a different way.
And when they dance, you can just keep playing the piano. It's so awesome.
Okay, already. Jeez. Right, fine. They dance, you play the piano.
And you just keep going. It's so awesome. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay,
that's
I'm done.
So cool.
I just love this app. It's so great. I'm so excited.
All right, Ron.
Okay.
Let us down.
So, I thought the holidays were coming, and you might want to have an easier way to shop. So, I found a tablet app called Catalog. And what it is
it... Oh, come on, sell it. You know how to sell it.
I know how to sell it.
Oh, the Find. I know the Find.
Yeah, it's basically it's powered by the Find. And there you go. We're good. It's powered by the Find. And basically, and it's a little weird because like I tried to get myself out of the mindset of this because I'm not sure this is an app that I would totally be head over heels and use, but I could totally see my mom using it, which I think is an interesting thing. So basically what it does is it takes very popular catalogs and delivers them to your tablet. So if you go to if we go here, you can see, Chad, we can pull up. And actually, I'm realizing now because I'm not set up on the Wi-Fi. It's not. Oh wow! I'm totally failing on the demo as well.
Would you like me to set it up while you talk about it a little?
Yeah,
bit more?
Could you? Yeah.
I'll
this is just crap. not even fair. Let's talk about Charlie Brown, because he just was awesome. No, so basically, so there's a website called The Find, which is a great place to find deals and find coupons and things like that. And what they're doing here, something really interesting, is that they're taking these paper catalogs that exist out there in the world. They're like the circulars you get either mailed to your house, or even they have the Best Buy inserts in the weekly papers and things like that. And it's basically just an e-reader. So it's a static e-reader where you can just browse the catalogs, but through the app. And then what you can also then do is tap on a page and it will pull up products that aren't always exactly what's on the page, but are similar in category. So like I was flipping through the Musician's Friends catalog and I tapped on a Marshall stack and I got PV amps, but I got amps. So it was close enough.
Cool.
Here we go. We're rolling now, Chad. So you can pull that up.
Hopefully, yeah.
Hopefully, hypothetically.
There we go. Oh,
so
that looks nice.
My catalogs have been updated here. So I can go right into the catalog. And so here you get a whole bunch of catalogs that are – you might find the ones that are in your mailbox. And so like, for example, Best Buy. And it gives you the option to look at – it gives you the dates of when the catalogs are. So it's hard to see here, but here's the November 20th. It's the 23rd Best Buy catalog. They even have the November 13th. They also pull in emails. So if a particular service does a customer email, they'll actually show that in here, which is pretty cool. But so you can open up the catalog. And it's, like I said, it's just basically a very flat, static e-reader of the catalog. But it's also layering in what the Find is doing in terms of giving you coupons and deals and things like that. So I don't know. It could help you with your shopping this holiday season. It's free.
Gosh.
So if you're looking...
So it's got that.
It's got that going.
It's free, yeah.
One criticism is that it only works... Here we go. Best Buy is up. It only works in portrait mode. Not landscape mode, so it doesn't even go. But yeah, you know, see, there you go. Oh, okay. I want to buy a camera. And it will pull up deals for cameras, hypothetically. There's none available. But, you know, so like, I was like, oh, okay, cool. I want some headphones.
You know what? I would look phone. On that for some Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
And maybe buy some Charlie Brown through a Charlie Brown catalog.
So, happy holidays.
All right, that was amazing, by the way.
That was great.
I think we all brought our A game today.
That was great.
And this is going to be a hard one, I think, for a lot of people.
Oh, man, I'm voting for Eileen. I don't even – there's no contest. Yeah, know, it's not even fair.
It's true. All right, so if you want to go vote for Eileen, you can go to bit.ly/35pollAAA. bit.ly/35pollAAA, and you'll see the option for a Charlie Brown Christmas there, of which you will probably
should just make all three of them a Charlie Brown Christmas.
Yeah, I know. I know. It does appear. Yeah.
No, if you're like me, I voted for Charlie Brown Christmas, so I'm not. I'm totally cool with that. So
yeah, I indeed also voted for Charlie Brown Christmas, but I appreciate the one vote that Sprinkle just got. So thank you.
Yeah.
So that's that. bit.ly/35pollAA. I should also mention that TechAce01. From the chat room and on Twitter, hit us up on Twitter and actually said, congratulations, Raygun01. You are winning the AAA polls, 12 of them that I have won so far.
That's...
Eileen TV is second with 8 polls.
Not bad.
And soon to be 9. And Ron, you are third place with 5 polls.
Now, is that counting last week's? Am I at 5
or
am I at 6?
No, now you should be at 6.
So I'm at 6. All right, I'm competitive. We're close. Yeah. I'm competitive. Yeah. There you go.
So there we go. We're keeping it competitive. Yeah. We did not talk pre-show about what we're doing next week.
We're going to do something.
Was there somebody, a guest who won?
I'm coming back strong next week. I'm coming back so strong next week.
I want to know if there was a guest who won that should be on there.
Because have
think
we only
was.
Done?
I think there was a guest
12,
who won.
20. Oh. We've done 25 episodes. Before. So we're on episode 30. So what episode?
Yeah,
35.
There may have been.
There
a,
may have been. But anyways, you could put other in that category.
Everybody else. So that's that. Well, we didn't decide for next week, but sure, we'll just go with grab bags.
Grab bag.
That seems to be working. I think people are liking that
I
more.
Think
anyways,
like it too,
I'm coming on strong next week. I'm totally. I'm gonna.
Yeah,
that was tugged at the heartstrings. That was like,
I told you. Eileen
is killing it.
Right now. Man.
All right, so that's it for this week. It was a tablety episode.
It was a tablety episode. And, a fun week of tablets.
So, Ron, go ahead and pimp. Pimptastic.
If you want to find me on the internet, you can find me. Go to about.me/RonXO. I've got links to my blog, which you saw earlier, at RonXO.com. And I'm also on Twitter, Facebook, Google+. Other places, I'm very public. You can find me. It's not hard. And if you have a tablet, check out Graphically. Graphically's got some great tablet apps that you can use. You read comics online, get them at Graphically.com, or you check out iFanboy.com, where I spend a lot of my time as well.
So. Also.
When I'm not crying over losing.
It's okay. You'll get over it.
I know, yeah.
Come back next week.
I can't wait. I can't wait to give my nieces that app. That's awesome. I'm excited.
It's so great.
And Eileen.
Well, you could follow the champion of next week's poll at Eileen TV. No, I'm kidding. I'm sorry. I'm kidding. It is a really fun app. I even just listening to it just
look at this,
a little bit
brutal.
Ago.
It's brutal. It's like, already 70 votes for Eileen.
No way. Really? Oh, wow. Oh my God!
Well,
wow!
Wow!
Nothing like Charlie. I love Charlie Brown, Snoopy. Oh, I love every. I love that whole crew. All right. Well, I'm at Eileen TV. You can also find me at about.me/EileenRose, EileenTV.squarespace.com. I'm trying to work on my blog a little bit more. So if you give me comments on what I should do with my blog, let me know what you think. And
gplus.to/EileenTV.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
I think you should add more green to your blog.
Yeah, I do. He thinks I have too much green on my blog.
No, I don't think there's too
much.
I like
yeah,
it.
You
I
do.
Like it.
Yeah, you do. Say you do. Like yeah, I know you do. But anyways.
You can find me on Twitter. I'm at Reagan01 or about.me/JasonHowell. That is it for this week. We'll be back next week.
Happy
so check
holidays.
It out. Voicemail 347 show AAA. You can send us an email or video mail if you prefer. AAA at twit.tv. Hit us up on Twitter. The show can be found at Android Show. Show notes can be found at twit.tv/AAA. And finally, you can catch us live every Monday, 5 p.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv. And that is it. I suppose we will see you next week after our bellies are full of turkey. Thanks.
Yes, I'm going to stuff myself.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving in the States.
America.
Yes.
Yeah. For the rest of you, eat a turkey just because.
For the rest of the world, enjoy Thursday.
Yeah. It should
Friday.
Be an awesome day. Okay. All right, now.
Can we play some more Charlie Brown? We can play some Charlie Brown. You want the music? I can't hear the music. How should I decorate the tree, guys? Should I put different lights? How about that? Oh, that's locked. See, I have to unlock that one.
Yeah.